surprised you, didn't I? Coming back. It's maybe a little bit late for happy hour. That usually starts earlier, but I want to keep this channel fresh here. I want to keep dropping in surprises. Where I want to get to the point where you never know where I'm going to like pop in and talk, right? Welcome to the Bernie Show here on YouTube. Appreciate all of your support. I'm going to say that all the time, every time. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Did the column on Ali Marmol, defending him a little bit today. And gosh, great response to that. I cannot wait. I've been very, very busy today. I'm sure many of you have too, but I can't wait to get into those comments, usually late night. And I look forward to all the reaction to that column and some of the things you had to say. So it's always good. That's one of the things I like about this the most. Gosh, you guys are so incredible about commenting on everything that I talk about. And listen, in the age that we live in, if that's the word, you can expect kind of like an infestation of trolls and people that just, want to stir up trouble, who can't engage in an intelligent conversation, even a debate back and forth. And I have to say, I don't want to jinx it, although jinxes don't exist. I have to say, just so impressed with the quality of the people that visit and watch and drop in their comments. Really, really, really grateful to you. So anyway, I'm looking at my phone, so I got distracted. This is a Bernie Bits video, by the way, so I'm a little bit of everything. The reason I'm looking at my phone, I'm not being rude. All right, this is my brother Brad in Baltimore texting me. I thought it was going to be something about the Chiefs and the Ravens. I'll get to him later on that. So this is Bernie Bits, and I'm going to do this from time to time. See, I got to get in the flow, get in the groove, got to figure everything out. I'm still early in this process. But the Bernie Bits thing I'm going to do is I'll cover a variety of subjects and not dwell on anyone for too long. And I wanted to, since my brother texted me from Baltimore, and since I know some of you don't care because you'll be mad at the NFL forever. I get it. Whatever. It's your choice, your life. But you have the Baltimore Ravens at the Chiefs tonight. And no, I'm not doing a preview of like whether our Chiefs can win three in a row Super Bowl. I already did that already. And didn't do a good job with that. I left a couple things out, but that's neither here nor there. One thing I want to do is pick out some games and give you my thoughts on in how to invest. And since this is the opener, the trends haven't been established for this season. So it's kind of a feeling out process for someone like me who likes to dig into this stuff with all my numbers and everything else. I like to say, okay, if I were to bet on this, what would I do? So let me just throw a couple things at you if I could. So this is the first Bernie bit. Ravens getting 3 points at the Chiefs on Thursday Night Football as we open the NFL season. What a great matchup to the two teams that fought for the AFC title last year. And the Chiefs won 17-10 in Baltimore. Made some of my family members and friends back in the Baltimore area. Made them very mad, very sad. So anyway, the Ravens are getting 3 points coming into Kansas City for this one. And I have to tell you, I would expect a narrow game because I'm really looking forward to seeing how Derrick Henry's going to fit into this Baltimore offense. I mean, if he stays healthy, this guy could be huge this season. And let's start with him. The first thing, an over-under investment. How about Derrick Henry over 16 and a half carry? So if you bet the over, and he runs the ball 17 times, you're a winner. If it's under 16 times, if it's 16 times, you're a loser. So I gotta believe going on the road and having this big, powerful back, I gotta believe they're gonna want to chew up some clock and kind of just be really, really forceful on the ground, things like that, to keep the thing tight and have a chance to win. So I would like the over Derrick Henry 16 and a half carries tonight. These were the odds earlier in the day. If they changed, I can't help it. I mean, you have to go look to see if anything has been updated. Now, The other thing, because I do expect a tight game, it could be wrong again. Week one, man, you got to wait for things to settle in. I'm more comfortable as the season goes on. I did pretty well with my picks last year, college football and when I was at KFNS. Not to brag, it means that I'll do bad this year, but, you know, I developed a pretty good feel, pretty good rhythm for this. All right. The Ravens are getting 3 points, and I would be strongly inclined to invest. Let's just say I am investing. I would take the Ravens plus the points. But wait a minute. Don't you think the Chiefs are a great team? Yeah, I think the Chiefs are a great team, but I also think Baltimore's a hell of a team, and they've improved with their new running back. And this is where I go into some trends, because I think trends tell us a lot. And especially going into a new season where you're not entirely sure of what each team's going to try to do, the approach they're going to take, where they've gotten better, where they've gotten worse, injuries, all that good stuff, right? The reason why I would recommend the Ravens plus three is because Lamar Jackson, their quarterback, is 12-1-1 against the spread when he is an underdog. And the other thing, 10-4 straight up in those games. And we're talking about, you know, going back a ways because the Ravens haven't been an underdog all that many times each season. And then you look at the coach, John Harbaugh. He's 25-15 against the spread as an underdog and as an underdog of getting 3 points or more. So in other words, these two things that I say, they fit the trends. They fit the established trends with this quarterback and with this coach and with this team. And can't you see this thing being, you know, decided by a field goal? You know, somebody kicking something at the end, they win by one or two. So it could play out that way. One other thing, and this one, listen closely, because some of these things get a little convoluted. But here's another reason why I would back the Ravens and the points. In week one of the NFL schedule, and this one comes from the great Steve Mackinnon at VSiN. Week one, NFL, home teams that are anywhere on the line, home teams, week one, anywhere on the line as either getting 3 points or laying 3 points. In other words, you're right there with the thing, plus three or minus three, and the Chiefs fit those parameters. 3-16-1 against the spread since 2015. That number really jumped out at me because, again, we have the Chiefs right in that range, plus three or minus three at home week one. The home teams have not done very well, at least not against the spread. All right. So, that's all I'm going to do there. And in case you're wondering, you didn't ask, the Chiefs and the Ravens, this calls for a special game day or game night menu. So, of course, we got to go with some Baltimore crab cakes, Chesapeake Bay style. I don't want any of these crab cakes with like all this filler and all this junk in it. You know, crab meat is a very precious thing. It is one of the most lovely things that you can have for a meal. You don't want to mess it up. You let the crab meat carry the meal. You don't put all this filler and all this garbage in there, right? I don't want green pepper in my crab cakes. I don't want red pepper. I don't want onions. All right. I'm a purist. I'm a snob when it comes to crab cakes. And believe me, that's my ruling. I know how I make them. And I'm very, very fussy about it. Give me the crab meat, little bit of filler, and then I'm good to go. All right. Why am I talking like Nick Saban? I have no idea. Anyway, that's number one. But on the other side, we'll have some barbecue. And I ain't going to say Kansas City barbecue. Got plenty of great barbecue places. In fact, some in my neighborhood. So we'll do that. Looking forward to it. And I think our cats will be mewling, going nuts, caterwauling even over once they get a little whiff of that crab meat, right? Well, so would I if I were them. All right. That's the first Bernie bit. Second Bernie bit. Well, that was the second Bernie bit, the meal for tonight. Again, I don't do a script here, man. A lot of this is freelance. You know, it's kind of a stream of consciousness. So you either like it or you don't. You never know where I'm going to go, and I will take detours. All right, the third thing, a quick follow-up to my earlier video of the day about Ali Marmol. Now, no, I'm not saying he's a great manager. I'm not saying he's White Herzog, Tony La Russa, whatever. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, given what he's had to work with and the roster that was flawed and it obviously had some problems going in and the expectation or the question of whether the older starters would hold up over the long course of the season, the answer is they haven't. Ollie Marmol didn't put that roster together. It's not his fault he stuck with Miles Michaelis, or they brought in older pitchers who were definitely a candidate to kind of wear down as the season went on, and that's exactly what's happened. We can talk about the bench in a minute. I'm going to get to something good on that. But with Marmol, you know, he's not the reason why the Cardinals are two games over 500. If you were expecting more. But were we really expecting more? That's another thing I would add. I don't think I added that this morning when I did this. And I don't want to drone on about this, so I apologize. But, you know, they're 71 and 69 right now, 22 games left. I mean, what did we think their record would be? I mean, I seem to remember a lot of people that I like and, you know, just saying, well, they're about an 82-win team or something. Like I thought they might get to 84, something like that. My point is at 71 and 69, isn't that kind of who we thought they would be in the ballpark? So if we're going to get mad at the manager because they're two games over 500, well, why? With all the problems they have. I really don't understand the logic there. Furthermore, I want to throw this one at you because I forgot to mention this today. You know, if you go by run differential, right? And the Cardinals have the 10th worst run differential in the majors this year. You know what their record should be based on the traditional model for run differential? Their record right now going into, well, they don't play tonight, but you know what I'm saying? Their record right now should be 64 and 76. They should be 12 games under. And if that actually was the record, that them being 12 games under a 457 winning percentage, they'd be 23rd in the majors in winning percentage. Now, in reality, the actual record is 71 and 69, which is two games above 500. And their 507 winning percentage, I'm not sitting here saying, oh, well, that's wonderful. No, that's not the goal. You strive to be better. But that's put on the front office. The manager can't, like, redo the roster. He doesn't make those decisions. So my point is, you can make the case based on run differential that the Cardinals have not only done okay. They've actually overachieved based on underlying factors. And there's another underlying factor that goes along with run differential. It's at Clay Davenport, who's a great baseball analyst, his site. I won't get into all the muck and, you know, all the number. But the way Clay Davenport has them, when he adds some other factors to the run differential, the Cardinals should be about three or four games under 500. And instead, they're two games over. So, again, I mean this sincerely. You don't have to like Ollie Marmol. You could be sick of him because you associated with John Mozeliak. I get it. I get it. I get it. I get it. But he has actually done better than – record-wise, he's done better than we would expect or should expect. I'm just making the point. The other thing I forgot, and I apologize. Guys, you think a guy like me who did a 31-minute video or whatever would remember to put some things in there. It's not like, you know, I did have a lot of time to do that, right? The Cardinals at the major league level are very shorthanded compared to most teams, a lot of teams, all the good teams, in terms of their staffing, in terms of their analytics, in terms of their technology and having the ultra modern programs in place that they can rely on, you know, to try to gain tactical advantages. The Cardinals don't have a coaching staff that really, in terms of numbers, compares to a lot of teams. And there's no excuse for that. And it does put them at a disadvantage because when you don't have the resources that opponents do, it doesn't mean you can't beat them. It does mean that you're at a disadvantage going in over a long course of time. And it's interesting, the Cardinals are 5-2 in their last seven against the Brewers. I think that's pretty impressive considering how everything started. And the Cardinals, 11-8 in their last 19 games. And all of those wins came against teams that would be in the playoffs as of now. And they just can't gain any ground in the wild card race because all the teams they're trying to catch, the Braves, the Mets, the Cubs, at a time where the Cardinals are like 16-10 over the last 26. Those teams have records that are better. So even though the Cardinals are playing good ball, they can't really cut their way into that lead, because you get one of the reasons for with them is the other teams have to fail. By the way, I'm not even talking about postseason things, because they got a 0.9% chance according to Fangraphs. So that's another Bernie bit. So I'm not trying to talk you into this idea. Oh, the Cardinals are, watch out for the Redbirds. No, I'm not doing that. All right. However, if I was on KMOX today and they asked me about this, and I said, well, you know, it's not only with 22 games left that the Cardinals have to win most of those games. The Cardinals have to go nuts and just go on this winning rampage, if you will. But that's only part of it. I mean, they're 5.5 games out with three teams in front of them and teams that have been playing better baseball for a while now. So the Cardinals not only have to go on a crazy good run, but the other teams in front of them have to stumble and fall and fail and flop and collapse. So they would need a lot of help, mainly the teams they got to catch up to. They would need those teams to fall apart. Not just one of them, all of them. So that's why the odds are so long. But all in all, I think the team is about what I expected, better, at least to this point. They could collapse. And it's, again, we can't have this both ways. We can't sit here, you know, going into spring training, coming out of spring training. Well, I don't like this roster. I don't like the bench. They got all these old pitchers. You know, they didn't add anything. Where the hitter? They needed another bat. Where's the bat? They needed this. They needed that. I don't like that. Okay. And I think we all pretty much agreed on that. So if that's a situation, why would you think they would be, as I repeat, I apologize, why would you think they'd be better than where they are now, especially with the run differential? I try to be consistent. Sometimes I'm not. I try to be. And I'm just saying, we can't have it both ways here. If we had major concerns about this team and didn't expect much before the season, as they said right now, isn't this kind of like where they thought they would be? I think it is. That's just me. All right, let's go on to the one thing I really wanted to talk about. So I've talked about investment advice, Ravens at Chiefs tonight. I've talked about a couple of things about Ali Marmol that I left out earlier. I talked about what I'm going to have on a NFL opening night as far as cuisine, crab cakes and barbecue, related to the two towns, of course. So now it's time to and this sort of gets back to one of the things we're talking about as far as the manager at times. No, any manager, you can only do so much with the roster that he's given. It's hard to maximize it if you don't have a pretty flawed roster. Brings us to the big man. No, not Clarence Clemens. That's an E Street reference, Springsteen reference. I know that's annoying. But to quote from 10th Avenue Freeze Out, now I'm really going to irritate people. It's like, changes made uptown since the big man joined the band. Luke and Baker. How about this guy, right? And he's been exactly what they've needed as a bench player, a role player. And listen, I know these are all small sample sizes, but I don't have anything else to work with here, right? The whole point of bringing him up is like, okay, he's a powerful right-handed hitter who just destroyed left-handed pitching at AAA this year. And he's been really destroying it for a couple of years. And the Cardinals had this really inferior bench especially from the right side. They didn't have a component that they really needed. They wasted a roster spot on Brendan Crawford, whatever the hell his name is. And I apologize for that, because he's been a heck of a major league player. And I have no problem with Matt Carpenter being on the bench, because Matt Carpenter has been serviceable. Could you do better? Yeah. And that's why we got to get away from the Cardinal nostalgia. You know, even now people talk about, well, who do you bring in as a manager? It's like, oh, Yachty. Oh, Skip Schumacher. It's always like a Cardinal guy. Okay. At some point, don't you think we need to get away from that? And that includes bringing back old veterans because they were once prominent Cardinals. I have had my fill of that stuff. And I love nostalgia and I love tradition. But, Man, it can't be your damn marketing campaign. You need to put a better team on the field if you want to get the fans back. So let's talk about the big man, Lukin Baker, right? A couple of things, and I'm poaching from my own column today at Scoops Network. This guy has been so good, granted, in a short period of time, but his impact has been instantaneous, and it has been very, very powerful. I got to give you numbers. It's the only way I can do it. So one of the reasons why we got to get him here, and he's the right-handed threat off the bench that they've been lacking all damn season. Yeah, it's true. Against lefty pitchers so far, okay? Three hits, three walks, two home runs, six runs batted in, a .500 average, .600 on base percentage, and a slugging percentage of .1500. Small sample, but again, that's all I have to work with right now. And this is what I'm talking about, instant impact. These numbers represent instant impact, and I'm not done. When Lukin Baker has entered the game as a substitute since coming up on August the 24th, I think it was, when entering the game as a substitute, 11 plate appearances, two hits, three walks, a homer, four RBIs, a .455 on base percentage, a .714 slug, is OPS over 1,000. That's coming in off the bench, which is they have not had that all year. A right-handed guy who can do this, right? All right, how about Baker as a pinch hitter, as we saw last night? Ali Marmol, by the way, made a great strategical move there. Oh, that's right, I can't praise him. No, the Brewers brought in their lefty, Hobie Milner, and he said, well, you know, Marmol's not going to take Brendan Donovan out. He's not going to pinch hit for him. But Ali said he was waiting. He was waiting for that moment with Lukin Baker, and he said, you're damn right I'm going to pinch hit. And I think it caught Pat Murphy, who's a really good manager. I think it took him by surprise. And, of course, Baker singles in what proved to be the winning run in the top of the 10th. Just a great job as a pinch hitter again. So as a pinch hitter this year, 2-for-5, a walk, a homer, four RBIs. He's got a .429 on base and a .429 slug. So you get a guy who's not – he will not, like, chase a bunch of junk. If they don't want to throw him strikes, he'll take walks. The Cardinals have also been missing that most of the year. Imagine that. Not watching called strikes go down the heart of the plate and not chasing at pitches a foot off the plate or an inch off the ground. Imagine that concept. It's early, but the guy has some plate discipline. It's really admirable. And to me, it's been the biggest part, the biggest growth of his hitting profile. Maybe it's because of maturity. Maybe he's figured some things out. I like this one. High leverage hitting. And that's these are the most critical spots in a game. The most important situations in a game. When the game's on the line, so to speak. Lukin Baker in high leverage. 3-for-6 with a double, a homer, and 6 RBIs. Is that good? Anyway, a couple more. Runners in scoring position. He's 4-for-9. With 4 walks and 2 homers and 9 RBIs. I got another stat on that, and it's a good one. Runners in scoring position with 2 outs. And again, you got to make something happen. You don't have another out. I mean, this is it. You either do or don't. 2-for-6 with 3 walks, a homer, and 3 RBIs. Since Baker joined the Cardinals and given them a real bench weapon, a bench asset, whatever you want to say, an ingredient that they have lacked all year long, since he has been invited to St. Louis to join the Cardinals, more on that in a moment, Cardinals are 7-4 when he appears in a game, and they're 3-1 when he starts. And his offensive impact is it's pretty obvious. Hope he continues with it because I'm rooting for the guy. He really deserves a chance. And they're finally giving it to him. Here's my favorite stat. Last numbers nerd thing I'm going to do. All right, this season we're talking about bench guys. Matt Carpenter, Brendan Crawford, Jose Fermin. They've had 72 plate appearances combined. 72 plate appearances combined. And 12 RBIs combined. 72 plate appearances combined. They've produced 12 RBIs in those runners in scoring position situations. 72 plate appearances. Big man, the big man, Lucan Baker. He's got 9 RBIs with runners in scoring position and only 15 plate appearances. The other guys had 12 combined in 72 plate appearances. The big man's got 9 of them in 15. Where's he been all year? And I got to give major props to the fans. Many of you are in that audience that I'm talking about, because you kept saying, I don't understand this. The guy's down there just killing everything. He's just assaulting left-handed pitchers. The Cardinals don't have a right-handed bench on the bat. What are they waiting for? Why don't they get this guy up here? Well, they did, but it was August the 24th. And look what he has done since been given the opportunity. This is a guy you root for because he's figured some stuff out. And I think going forward, listen, if he ain't on this team next year, fire everybody. All right? I'm going to scream and holler a little bit. If he's not on this roster next season, I'm not saying he's got to be a starter. If he isn't a bench bat at the very least going into 2025, these people are cuckoo, even more so than I thought. So we got to root for Lucan Baker. And to all the fans who said, get him up here, I don't understand this, get him up, bring him up, promote him. What are they waiting for? These other guys are not very good. Bring him up. You all were so right, and you all deserve a tip of the cap. So right. You knew it. You called it out. You pleaded for it. You implored them to do it. They finally did it belatedly too late. And look at what he has done. My compliments to you all for making a case for Lucan Baker for being up here. That'll do it. I've gone too long again, but I do the Bernie bits, and that's the whole point. I get to mix a bunch of different things in. So thank you all again. Please subscribe. Tell all your friends. Thank you for the comments. And we'll be back in the morning here on the Bernie Show channel on YouTube. Good night.